on today's Compassion Radio.
Well, since you've been a listener for so many years, can you sing the old theme song?
It is morning, the shadows depart. Every day's a wonderful day. Did your father write that song?
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Hello, and welcome on in to another edition of Compassion Radio, celebrating 74 years of broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ from corners near and far. Here we are, Monday, the 12th of March, and if you caught that clip a moment ago, we have a special treat in store for you today. As Norm checks in with the gentleman he met at a special conference honoring the legendary evangelist Billy Graham, we're going to be talking a great deal about his legacy on today's program. Get ready for a fun and engaging conversation on today's broadcast, and a nice way to start off your week to boot. Here's Norm.
All right, our guest on Compassion Radio is now a good friend of mine. His name is Jim Lutzweiler. Jim is a historian of American Christianity, and we first met at a conference at the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College. And at that time, he was the archivist for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Jim, it's really great to have you with us on Compassion Radio today.
Norm, it's a real pleasure to be with you. It was a great pleasure to meet you at the Billy Graham Conference. Certainly one of the highlights of my attendance at that conference.
Well, we really connected, as I recall, and one of the reasons we did is that you came up to me and you said, "Are you Norm Nelson, the Norm Nelson of the Morning Chapel Hour and Compassion Radio?" And I said, "Yes." And it turns out that you heard the program back in its early days when my dad was conducting the Morning Chapel Hour. My dad, of course, being Wilbur Nelson.
Norm, I did. I listened to your father's program from the time that I was very, very young. My earliest memories go back to age 2. I don't remember hearing it then, but I would say age 5 or 6, I began to hear your father's program every morning. My parents had it on all of the time, and I listened to it basically for the next 50 years. When we moved to North Carolina, it was on Christian radio down here, and it was a string of continuity that connected me to my past, and I was delighted to be able to tune into it. I loved your father's song, Pity the Man.
Oh,
and,
yes.
I was glad to reconnect with that song after meeting you.
Well, since you've been a listener for so many years, and you're a historian, a professor of history, and so forth, let me ask you, can you sing the old theme song?
It is morning, the shadows depart. Every day's a wonderful day. Did your father write that song?
He wrote that song, and it actually has some verses to it. And, of course, people don't remember that, but they remember what you just sang. And so often when I'm introduced to people, immediately they will start singing the theme song. In fact, John MacArthur did it one time when we were on a program together. And that is a beloved song, certainly to me and to many thousands around the country.
Well, I'd love to have the lyrics to the entire song. If you have them, I'd appreciate receiving them sometime. I love that song. It's part of my earliest memories.
That's a deal, and thousands heard me agree to it. Jim, what I'd like to do is go back to the conference that where we met together and which was focused on the ministry of Billy Graham. You know, Jim, when we met not that long ago, we were in the Duke University Chapel together, and it was a service that celebrated the interracial nature of the kingdom of God. Let's just put it that way. The thought comes to me that one of the great achievements of Billy Graham was that he integrated the Billy Graham Crusades, which were held everywhere, of course, but there was a time when that was kind of a courageous move to make, certainly in the South. That would not be that courageous anymore, thank God, but he did that, and I've always admired him for that.
I have always admired him for that as well. That was a significant achievement. People who have not lived in the South sometimes do not have a full appreciation for just how rabid Southerners were toward blacks. Wouldn't eat with them, had different Bibles to swear them in on and court appearances, etc. For Billy Graham to go out and integrate the Crusades was an enormous thing to do in the South.
You know, Jim, I was one time as a little boy, my dad and mom and I were traveling in the South, and I won't mention the name of the city, but it's a major Southern city, and it was very hot, and we were looking for a place where I could go and take a swim. And we found out as we looked at the various public pools that were available that they were not integrated. They were segregated. I was shocked by that at that time. Once again, great progress has been made, and we worship together on that Sunday that I referred to just a few moments ago, and that was in the South, and the service was totally integrated, and it was a marvelous experience.
I was happily pleased to see Booker T. Washington's name in the bulletin on Sunday morning, because Booker T. Washington was involved in what the historian of Duke University referred to as Duke University's finest hour. It's a long story, and I highly recommend the book, but if you go up and interview people and say, what would you call Duke University's finest hour, they would probably refer to some basketball game, might even refer recently to Duke University's football game with Texas A&M. But back in 1903, a history professor from Duke University published an article in which he said, outside of Robert E. Lee, the greatest man born in the South in the last 100 years, is Booker T. Washington. Well, North Carolina erupted. The publisher of the Raleigh News and Observer was calling for that historian's head, and the administration stood by that professor, John Spencer Bassett. So when I looked down at the church bulletin on Sunday and saw Booker T. Washington's name in the bulletin, I thought, how far things have come in North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. How important do you think it was that Billy Graham, and he is our subject really today, his move to integrate his crusades, how important was that in the progress within our country, and in particular with reference to the churches, to acknowledge that in the kingdom of God, there are no distinctions of race? Did Graham move our country forward in that regard, in particular in the churches of America?
I think he did. I think it's one of the greatest lessons of his leadership. He was in the forefront of doing that. The people who preceded him were clearly segregationists. I've been in the church down in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he used to attend as a boy. They had a slave gallery there. The slaves sat upstairs. That church is still there, by the way. I recall hearing my college president refer to that because he had conducted a revival in that church when Billy Graham was a teenager and told me how they had the slave gallery there. So I made a trek back there one day just to see that. And that's the kind of context into which Billy Graham was born and grew up. For him to shake that aspect of his childhood and his growing up years, for any of us to shake the cultural traditions that have bound us, is difficult work. And I think he made an enormous contribution to American history and to the resolution of painful feelings between blacks and whites, and not just blacks and whites, but other races as well.
Absolutely.
Friend, you are listening to a very special legacy edition of this Compassion Radio broadcast featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson, who was the president and host of this ministry for so many years until his passing just about a year ago. We brought it back from the archives because we felt it would be very appropriate to air in this special anniversary month here at Compassion Radio. This coming March the 25th will mark our 74th year of broadcast ministry on radio, which means the day after that, we will kick off our 75th year on the air. Quite an accomplishment. Friend, thank you so much for listening and for your unwavering support of this Boots on the Ground ministry. Please do consider a special anniversary gift this month. It would bless us so much to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can reach us online and give right at our website, safe and secure, at CompassionRadio.com. We'll have a lot more to share towards the end of the broadcast, and we'll also pass along our mailing address at that time. In the meantime, let's get back to today's program.
I like the title of his book, of Going Home, because it portrays the image of eternity in home.
Yes.
Home is something that means a great deal to all of us if you've had a happy home. And the idea that in nearing home, you're going to a place that is that has the ambience of mom and dad and brothers and sisters and love and firesides, that's the view of eternity that a Christian has. It's not the view of eternity that a non-believer has, but it's a wonderful image that Billy has driven home in the hearts and minds of millions of people, that eternity does not end in a holocaust for the believer. It ends up in another H word, home.
Yes, absolutely. I have to say this autobiographically at this moment. My mother-in-law just went home. She was nearing home for quite some time, and Cher and I spent time with her in the hospital, watched her pass into the Lord's presence. I think that many of us and many people around this country and around the world, because of the magnitude of the ministry of Dr. Graham, are going to be with my mother and father, and now Cher's mother and father, and so many of us listening right now who have parents, who have loved ones, who have dear friends, and so on and so forth. And they will be there. They will be resident in heaven because of the Graham ministry throughout the years. He called people to salvation. The stories are endless. But that is an absolutely fabulous fact about his ministry. Probably as no single minister of our time, certainly in my lifetime, Dr. Graham led thousands and thousands and thousands of people into God's presence in that land that we call our heavenly home. Could there be anything more important to do in all of life than that, Jim?
I can't think of anything. I mean, I think it's the ultimate question that people begin wrestling with as soon as they become conscious that death exists, is what is there after death? I remember witnessing to a man who had been Leon Trotsky's bodyguard. I took him out to lunch for the express purpose of inviting him to become a Christian. And he said he couldn't. I said, why not? He said, because I can't believe in the resurrection. I said, why can't you believe in the resurrection? He says, there's no evidence for it. I said, what happens to you when you die? He says, that's it. Your lights go out. I said, what's your evidence for that? He said, oh, I don't have any. And
yeah.
I said, well, you're a good Marxist. You need to have evidence for whatever's on the other side. And to know that the Bible teaches that the other side is home rather than extinction gives us a level of joy that no one else is capable of, because it signs, seals, and delivers the meaning of life. If it's just extinction at the end of the road, we've got a lot to be depressed about, and we need to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow when we die. But if there's a home at the other end, then we live a completely different way.
Oh, absolutely true. Jim, at that conference, we heard from many marvelous speakers, many academics, many who are journalists, many who are in various forms of ministry that had very close contact with Dr. Graham. What stood out in that conference, as you recall, that left its imprint upon you when you left the conference?
Well, actually, the story that impressed me most that I keep going back to there was about your father. The story that you told me about the morning chapel hour and a man driving down the Los Angeles freeway who heard your father's program, pulled off to the side of the road, gave his heart to the Lord, and became a missionary and was turned down by several mission agencies, went out on his own to Korea and called one day on a hovel and saved a young little boy by the name of Yang-gi Cho, who is now the pastor of the largest church in Korea. That story didn't even relate to Billy Graham per se, and that's one of the benefits of mingling with people who knew of Billy Graham. Billy Graham is responsible for the people that I mingle with, and you're one of them, and because of Graham's life, I heard that story, and I've told it 100 times if I've told it once. But second, right behind it, as a highlight, was one of his colleagues gave a paper on Billy Graham's going to Russia, to the Soviet Union. When I was growing up in the 50s, I can recall distinctly how Billy Graham would preach about the Russians are coming, the Soviets are coming, godless communism was a constant theme of his preaching, and to see him eventually go to the Soviet Union was quite a turnaround. And that he went there against the advice of George Herbert Walker Bush and Ronald Reagan told me that Billy Graham, who has often been characterized as a puppet of the president's or playing up to the president's, could be his own man when he saw that it came to a matter of evangelism. The gospel trumped politics, and he went, I wouldn't say in defiance of Bush and in defiance of Ronald Reagan, but he went against their wishes. They thought that the Soviets would use him for a propaganda tool, and I cannot say how much I admired Billy taking that stand to get the gospel to the Russians.
Billy Graham received great pressure from a number of political sources over the years. He did his best, as I recall, and by the way, as you know, I was present at that famous initial crusade in Los Angeles, where William Randolph Hearst made the statement, "Puff Graham." That was the beginning of the Billy Graham of national repute, and then ultimately, of course, of international repute. His name became known, became a household word, and I was there, and I have seen it all. I've been in the in many of the crusade meetings, and in one of them, sitting with my mother and father in Madison Square Garden, Cliff Barrows looked up in our direction and said that Dr. Wilbur Nelson and his family are sitting with us tonight in Madison Square Garden. Dr. Nelson and family, would you please stand? And we stood up, and the crowd applauded and all of that. And of course, I was just a young kid, but I was very impressed by that. The point of that is that people wanted to use him. And as you put it, the gospel trumped politics with Dr. Graham. I'm a little concerned, and once again, I'm speaking to you right now, Jim, as a historian, and you're a top-notch, crackerjack historian in every regard. He refused to do that, but today I see politics moving into the evangelical church to the degree that very often I think that it becomes a stumbling block for people responding to the invitation of Christ, because they think that, oh, if I become a believer in Christ, I have to become a member of a particular political party or a particular political movement, etc., etc. And I think, for what it's worth, that is a terrible thing that has happened in the evangelical community in recent years. I wonder what you think of that, Jim. I have no idea.
Well, I could not agree more, and have written on that subject to this effect, that God does not need the endorsement of politicians. He doesn't need the endorsement of famous athletes in order for people to believe in him. There is this tendency to exalt the testimonies of popular people who are out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. I am glad to know that there are tremendous athletes. Russell Wilson, for example, of the Seattle Seahawks. I follow the NC State quarterbacks because I went to NC State. I have 3 favorite teams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, San Diego Chargers, and the Seahawks, because all 3 quarterbacks played for NC State. And Philip Rivers is a fine Christian, and Russell Wilson is a fine Christian. I don't know about Mike Glennon. He could be. I don't mean to impugn him in any way, shape, or form. Lots of NFL players are fine Christians, but after all is said and done, God does not need their endorsement for people to believe in them. And so often, politicians of repute, their names are invoked, athletes, their names are invoked. You should believe in God because these people do. And that concerns me.
I remember a particular, I guess you'd call him maybe a television evangelist one time, that was sitting at a table. And he did a very odd thing. He had a shoe in his hand. This was not Khrushchev, of course, but he had a shoe. And he pounded the table with a shoe, and he said, "We Christians, we're not losers, we're winners." And he was, it was so pathetic to see that kind of behavior in an effort to somehow demonstrate that Christians have power, perhaps worldly power. It was the point he was trying to make. But as you put it, the Lord doesn't need that kind of endorsement. He doesn't need us to revert to that kind of testimony in order to get people to respond to the gospel. And if they do for that reason, I'm not sure that it's all that valid. Jim, you know, we've had a wonderful conversation here. We're running short on time. I'm wondering if you have a time to do another program and continue this.
Anytime, Norm. It's been a pleasure to come to know you, and I look forward to visiting with you again about this or any other subject.
Well, Jim Lutzweiler, it's been wonderful to have you on Compassion Radio today, and I'm delighted to know that you're going to be with us again tomorrow for part two of our interview with this historian of American Christianity as we talk about the career in evangelism of Dr. Billy Graham. We'll be with you tomorrow, so don't miss it.
And that's a wrap on this classic broadcast featuring my dear colleague, Dr. Norm Nelson. We thought it was appropriate today to dip back into our vast program archives for that gem. Such great memories for me. Friend, we are literally just days away from celebrating our 74th anniversary here at Compassion Radio. We certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing. For it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. We don't know what kind of resources are going to come in month to month. We have no way to orchestrate that. We really are at the discretion of God and the Holy Spirit, prompting the hearts of people and their faithful response. This isn't a business. This is a ministry. And frankly, we are at the discretion of God. If the Lord chooses to bring more, we have more. If He chooses, for whatever reason, to bring in less, we have less. But it seems in the end, God has continually laid upon the hearts of faithful people what we need. This generous, gracious giving does not go unnoticed. To that end, here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. I'm in Cairo, Egypt, as I record this. Why Egypt? Well, like we often do, we travel as guests of our partner ministries so we can bring you the most current and powerful stories of God's hand at work. I covet your prayers as I spend the next few weeks traveling through the Middle East and North Africa. As with anything important and worth doing, there's always some spiritual kickback. And as I'm recording this, the devil's really hitting us in the pocketbook. Right now, listener support for this unique radio ministry is at an all-time low. Frankly, if we're to continue, we need to see a serious rebound in giving, and we need to see it soon. Now, what will your gift do? Well, far more than just keeping us on the air. Our partners have enabled us to provide hundreds of thousands of Bibles to new believers in China and other booming Christian nations. Together, we provided relief and desperately needed supplies to refugees from dozens of world conflicts and natural disasters. And coming up this year, we'll award the very first Norm Nelson Religious Freedom, Faith, and Dignity Award to honor and empower the work of courageous believers around the world. And your gifts make it possible for us to go find all the stories and transformational interviews you hear every day on this station. Friends, we need your support, and we need it now. Can I count on you to contact us today to let us know that you're standing with us? Jimmy has some info on the unique and special thank you this month for your gift of support.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.